live and direct from the free speech zone called America. The weekend home for truly radical progressives. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ.
Good day and welcome to the weekend. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, and it's a fabulous weekend before Thanksgiving. We're all so happy to have you here. Our phone number here is 888-7-RADICAL. We're going to be talking all day about what concerns you and me, the hardworking people of this country that make it great. Where's our bailout? Boy, I could use one. We got a lot of topics to talk about, and of course, that bailout is going to be number one among them. The Detroit bailout, the Wall Street bailout, bailouts for everybody, except it seems you and me. So we'll get your calls on that at 888-7-RADICAL as we run through the show. Also, we'll be featuring our Lunatic Fringe today. You'll learn all sorts of stuff about gay people in the Lunatic Fringe today. You know, they want to destroy America and institute polygamy, right? Yeah, we'll be talking about that. In our second hour, we're going to go Living in America to take a further look at the issue of gay rights in this country and around the world. How is it that we are a little less tolerant than Nepal? We'll tell you that story in our second hour. In Under the Radar, we're also going to be looking at the rights of other Americans who tend to be discriminated against. The overweight, the fat, the obese people in America. We've got an interesting ruling from Canada on that coming up in our second hour. Plus our free-for-all, our listener email, and again, your calls at 888-7-RADICAL. But before we get to all of that, we need to welcome and introduce our favorite immigrant worker, the man from across the pond who will still work for an American dollar, our engineer taking your calls at 888-7-RADICAL in Washington, D.C., a man who every weekend drives his lorry over the sleeping policeman on the neighborhood streets on his way to the dual carriageway to see the chemist in Brummies to spend a quid on some Johnnies. Our own Stevie Webb.
Hello!
How you doing,
they
man?
They get better and better.
All right, let's go through
Thanks,
this slowly.
Double R.
We got to go through it slowly for our Americans. This is our Quiz the Brit section here. Quiz the Brit. A man who every weekend drives his lorry.
My truck.
Over the sleeping policeman.
I don't know what you call them here. Those humps in the road.
Speed bumps.
Speed bumps.
I was shocked. The sleeping policeman.
Sleeping policeman, yes.
On the neighborhood streets on his way to the dual carriageway.
That's just a road to you, isn't it?
like a freeway, right?
Yes, with two people can go down the road side
right.
by side.
To see the chemist.
The pharmacist.
That's right. In yes. Brummies.
In Birmingham.
Mm-hmm. To spend a quid.
A pound.
On some Johnnies.
Or 30 of your cents.
On some Johnnies.
On some prophylactics.
There we go. Congratulations there.
You are the
winner of our Quiz the Brit contest.
That's right. It's Stump the Brits.
Yes, a common country. Two countries separated by a common language. That's our friends over in the UK, and we're glad to have you here, Stevie.
Thank you, Double R. And I got to say... The Radical Russ Belville Show is showing its international wings.
That's right. We're all over the place.
Not only do you have a foreigner on the air, God bless you for that, but we have a message from probably your furthest away fan yet.
Who's that?
And this is a big shout out to Ian Charlton.
Ian
Andrew Charlton from the Shetland Islands.
The Shetland Islands. Is that the home of the ponies?
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Where the ponies come from. Right up in the northern islands of Scotland, heading into the Arctic Circle there. So,
well, hello to all of our listeners in the north of Scotland.
Yes. He thinks it's really good and that he's probably... I think he is probably your first and possibly only fan from the Shetland Isles. But he loves the show.
That's great.
And so big shout out to Ian Charlton. Big shout out to the Shetland Islands. Oh,
yeah.
Here we go. I forgot. I found some Shetland music. There we go.
Oh,
I guess
very
this
nice.
Is what they do in the Shetland Islands.
I see. Maybe that explains why they're listening to me.
Exactly. There's only like half an hour of daylight there at the moment, so Radical Russ is keeping them warm in the Shetland Islands with their reels.
Well, good for all you up there in the Shetland Islands. And we also want to mention, too, that the proposed merger or the recent merger between XM and Sirius, it looks like it's taken place, and we're still here. Check us out up on the web at xmradio.com. Look for the talk radio segment and America Left channel. You'll get to see my smiling face up there alongside Tom Hartman and Randy Rhodes and Ed Schultz and Bill Press and all those great talk radio figures. It's kind of cool to see me up there, kind of like a Mount Rushmore of progressive talkers.
I think you're actually in between Bill Press and I think it's Big Eddie.
Yeah.
And like you got Randy Rhodes on the other side and Stephanie Miller going, no, I want to be next to Radical Russ. I want to be next to him.
Hey, you know, another thing I wanted to bring up too for people that are big fans of the show, they may not know what you're involved with, Stevie. I know that you're growing a mustache for charity.
I am.
Why don't you fill our listeners in on that? Maybe they can help you out a bit.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. For the entire month of November, which is rechristened Movember. Actually, I'm gonna leave this Shetland music on in the background. I like it.
Okay.
I am growing I shaved my face and I am growing a mustache for the prostate cancer charity. Basically, people are donating to me to make me look like a fool for an entire month.
And so, how's the mustache coming?
It's actually it has gone pretty well throughout, I must say. It's gone from this awful sort of bum fluff, which I started off with, through to someone said I look like Jeffrey Jones.
Okay.
Rooney from Ferris Bueller.
I was going to say, isn't that Ferris Bueller's principal, right?
Exactly. I don't know if that was a compliment or not, to be honest. He's leading you up the primrose path, Mrs. Bueller. And last night I got to the Tom Selleck stage of my mustache.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
Okay, so if people want to help you out with that prostate charity, how can they get some money to you for your mustache?
Please, please, please. We've still got like 8 days of tash growing left. Go to uk.movember.com. That's November with an M. And you can search for me by my name, Steve Webb.
All right.
And you can donate online via credit card or debit card or your PayPal account. And all monies go to prostate cancer awareness and research. Every penny counts.
That's a great charity. And thank you, Stevie.
I get to look stupid.
And you get to look stupid. And thank you for looking stupid for charity. We appreciate that. We'll put a link to uk.movember.com up on our website at radicalrust.com. And then let's get to the news, because I know that a lot of you are like me. You work a full-time job for a living. You can't always catch up on the newspaper or the evening news. So at the top of the Russ Belville Show, I help you catch up on the week's hottest news topics with...
The Week in 90 Seconds.
Barack Obama begins naming members of his new cabinet.
Hey, Hillary, I'm looking forward to you advising me as well.
Senate Democrats vote to not even slap Joe Lieberman on the wrist for betraying the Democratic Party.
The real ticket for change this year is the McCain-Palin ticket.
Mark Begich has defeated convicted Republican felon Ted Series of Tube Stevens. He just found out from an internet.
I just the other day got internet was sent by my staff at 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday. I got it yesterday.
$250 billion of that immediate can't-wait must-pass bailout of Wall Street seems to have just vanished.
We continue to look at good proposals and are dedicated to implementing those that protect the taxpayer and work well.
And those Wall Street fat cats are still paying themselves millions in bonuses.
Greed is good. Greed is right. Greed works.
Meanwhile, the workers in America's auto industry are told to wait until December for a bailout, maybe.
Until they show us the plan, we cannot show them the money.
But it's hard to argue against bankruptcy for Detroit when the execs take private jets to Washington to beg for our money.
These guys flying in their big corporate jets doesn't send a good message.
George W. Bush tries to do as much damage as possible by enacting last-minute federal rules.
But I'm the decider.
The stock market dips below 8,000 to half its level from a year ago.
Tell me how my stock did yesterday.
And get ready, secular progressives. It's time for our annual preparation. That's right, folks. It's time to get ready for the war on Christmas, like all us good lefty secular progressives like to do, because we all hate Christmas. We all hate the holidays. We hate Christmas. We're trying to destroy Christmas. Yeah, that's that old Bill O'Reilly stuff percolating up again. Not so much as it has in the past, but they're still running it. They're still trying to say this, you know, secular progressive, you know, people are trying to ruin Christmas by saying happy holidays. You know, God forbid. Yeah, God forbid that we treat other people's holidays with the same measure of respect as we would treat our own, huh? Yeah, sorry about that. Also, this was from the Wall Street Journal talking about this war on Christmas, you know, that just came up. Daniel Henninger was writing in his Wall Street Journal column. This is Henninger writing. He says, quote, "This year we celebrate the desacralized holidays amid what is for many unprecedented economic ruin, fortunes halved, jobs lost, homes foreclosed. People wonder what happened. One man's theory, a nation whose people can't say Merry Christmas is a nation capable of ruining its own economy." Yeah, uh-huh. Because we won't say Merry Christmas, that's why the economy went to hell. It's all because we are saying Happy Holidays. It's all because we have tolerance for Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and Festivus and all of that. It's our economy. This guy gets a column in the Wall Street Journal writing this kind of tripe. Unbelievable. And it's funny, too, because the guys that rail so much against this so-called war on Christmas, you know, like Bill O'Reilly out there, when you go out to Bill O'Reilly's website, you can go to the little Bill O'Reilly store and buy little Bill O'Reilly knickknacks, you know, a Bill O'Reilly mug, I guess.
I've never wanted any. I know what my mom's getting for Christmas this year. It's an O'Reilly tchotchke.
Yes. Well, when you go out to his website and you look for all of the Christmas gifts, the website says they're selling holiday gifts. So even Bill O'Reilly has given up selling holiday gifts. It's an amazing thing. All right, good radicals. We're going to take ourselves a short break here. We'll be right back with more Radical Progressive Talk. And our big story, we're going to be talking about the Detroit bailout. And we definitely want to hear your opinions at 888-7-RADICAL. That's 888-772-3422. This is the Russ Belville Show. We're right back after these messages.
From the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville, host of The Russ Belville Show. Do you struggle with your computer? Have you ever spent hours at work trying to fix that spreadsheet, document, or database? Have you ever thought, there's got to be an easier way? You need to call the PC Boss. Belville Office Software Specialists, or PC Boss, can help you with your office software projects without hard-to-understand books or taking a day off to attend a boring computer class. We specialize in one-on-one software tutoring and consultation at your desk with your files. No computer training company can match that, or we can help you online. Call the PC Boss at 503-349-0395 to make your consultation appointment today. Visit pcboss.biz on the web or email pcboss.biz at gmail.com. Call 503-349-0395 and say you heard it on the Russ Belville Show and get 10% off a two-hour session. Call PC Boss at 503-349-0395 or email pcboss.biz@gmail.com today.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
Here's a tip to lower your energy bills. Change a light. Just change one old-fashioned light bulb at home to one with the Energy Star label. Your new light will use 75% less energy, save money, and last for years. For more information, contact your local electric utility. Or go online to energystar.gov and take the Change a Light pledge to join others, changing the world, one light at a time.
The voice of the everyday American. It's time for Radical Russ. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. 23 after the hour, we want to remind you, if you're a business owner looking to support independent progressive talk radio, you can advertise on the Russ Belville Show and on the web at RadicalRuss.com. Hurry now while 2008 pricing is still in effect. Just send your email to RadicalRuss@gmail.com.
Now it's time for the big story.
My, what a big story.
Thanks.
Now here's Radical Russ.
That's right, thank you. Our big story this weekend, of course, is the bailout of the auto industry, or I should say the postponed bailout, or maybe the possible bailout, I'm not even sure, of the big three automakers. That's right, the executives from GM, Chrysler, and Ford all made their way to Washington, D.C. this week, on Wednesday, to ask for a $25 billion bailout for their manufacturing businesses. Now, the Democratic leaders in Congress on Thursday said there could be no legislation to bail out the U.S. auto industry until the big three automakers come up with some sort of plan as to how they are going to spend that money.
It is all about accountability and about viability. Until we can see a plan where the auto industry is held accountable and a plan for viability on how they go into the future, until we see the plan, until they show us the plan, we cannot show them the money. And that is really where we are with this.
That is Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, of course, talking about how we need to see a plan. We need to see a plan before we throw taxpayer money at the auto industries. $25 billion, that's a whole lot of money. We need to see a plan. Oh, what's that? Wall Street? You need $700 billion? Just with no questions asked? No strings attached? Oh, yeah, here you go. Now, what was I saying? Automakers, yes, we need to see a plan from you guys. No blank checks for the auto industry. We can't have the auto industry just getting all this free taxpayer... What? I'm sorry? Excuse me? Oh, President Bush, you want hundreds of millions of dollars, no question asked, no timetable to go to war in Iraq? Yeah, sure, no problem, we'll give you that. Where was I? Oh, yes, automakers, yes, we got to see a plan. We've got to see some plan. We can't throw away money, taxpayer money. You people have been, you know, running this thing into the... I'm sorry, what? AIG, you guys need some more money? Oh, yeah, sure, here you go. Where was I? Oh, yes, Detroit, you guys, you big bad automakers, we got to see a plan. Am I the only one... who is seeing this? Am I the only one who is just not shocked at all to see, when it comes to the American auto industry, the last manufacturing industry we've got in this country, the last thing that we actually make in this country, the jobs that are being held by hardworking unionized workers in Michigan and all over the country who depend on the auto industry, when they need a bailout, when the people need some help, when the workers need some help, oh, we got to have a plan. We can't just throw money at you, but we can throw 10 times that much money at Wall Street, and they can continue to send out their bonuses to their fat cats. They can show up on their private jets, three separate private jets, to come beg for our money for this auto bailout. And yet, when it came to Wall Street, whatever. You guys can have all the money you want. Is anyone else upset about this? Does anyone else think that if we can just willy-nilly throw, you know, billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars toward Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, AIG, Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, and so on, and yet we can't come up with $25 billion for the auto industry? Does this shock anyone? Does this surprise anyone? I'd like to know what you think about it. Our phone number here is 888-7-RADICAL. Let me get some other quotes up here from our congressional so-called leaders. This is one from Harry Reid talking about the automobile industry needing to have a plan.
What we have said to the automobile industry is we need you to be part of what we're doing here. We think it would send a terrible message to the workers where, you know, we all can throw all the barbs we want at the three people who fly down here in their corporate jets. But we're concerned not about them. We're concerned about the hundreds of thousands and millions of people who are involved in the automobile industry who want these jobs and need these jobs, and we want them to have the jobs. We want them to work as we've indicated and come up with a proposal that we can get through here on December 8th.
Okay, now, before we get this mischaracterized, I don't want anyone to think that I think we should just throw money at Detroit either. Obviously, Detroit has made some huge mistakes. They continue to pump out SUVs when we know we need to go to a green economy. We continue to see these 0% financing and these terrible financing deals from the automakers and continuing to put out products that the people just don't want to buy. The big three are top heavy in their management structure. They continue to make the wrong decisions. So I understand the people that are saying, why should we reward that? Why shouldn't we ask for restructuring? Why shouldn't we let them go into bankruptcy, kick out the bad executives here that have made all the poor decisions, and let American ingenuity take over? I understand that. I'm all for that. However, I'm just saying, why didn't we have that sort of care and concern when we were talking about the bailout for Wall Street? When the whole Wall Street thing happened, is all about give us the money. Got to give us the money right now. We got to have it right now. Don't ask any questions. Don't ask any questions. We got to have it right now. The whole economy is going to collapse. If we don't do something right now, the economy is going to collapse. It's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. And yet, you know, they don't seem to think the same thing about Detroit and the stuff we actually manufacture. What is it that they manufacture on Wall Street anyway? A bunch of paper, a bunch of derivatives, a bunch of stock trades, and what was that? Credit default swaps. I want someone to show me what a credit default swap is. But I know what a Ford F-150 is. I know what a GM car is. This is what we manufacture in this country. If we don't get back to manufacturing, we're in big trouble in this country. I'm Radical Russ. We're taking your calls on the subject at 888-7-RADICAL. We'll be right back after this break.
Touch that dial. We're right back to Radical Russ in just a few minutes. Hey, does anybody really have a dial anymore? Huh? You're listening to The Russ Belville Show. Radical Russ now at 1-888-7-RADICAL. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Welcome back, listeners. 35 after the hour, we want to remind you to check out the Radical Writ, the online blog of the Russ Belville Show. You'll see the latest videos, follow my notes from show topics, find the links for my guests, and continue the conversation online in our comments. It's all online at RadicalRuss.com. All right, let's turn things over to the good and wise people of North America and hear your voices. Stand up together and fight the power. Let our leaders know how we feel. That's right. It's time for our People Speak segment. We'll be taking your calls at 888-7-RADICAL. We're talking about the big possible bailout and the testimony of the automakers in Washington this week, trying to get a $25 billion bailout for the struggling auto industry. And one of the saddest pictures from this from this set of testimony was the fact that the big three automakers' head executives, Alan Mulally of Ford, Robert Nardelli of Chrysler, and Richard Wagoner of General Motors, all came to the House of Representatives, flew into Washington, all on private jets. That's private jets, plural, not one private jet for the three of them. Every single one of them, each one of the three, took their own private jet.
So they didn't drive then?
They did not drive.
Hmm.
Automakers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, giving their money to Rolls-Royce engines, though.
Exactly. Now, it should be noted that there are 24 daily commercial flights direct, no layover, direct from Detroit to Washington, D.C. They could have paid $1,000 for a first-class ticket on a commercial flight, but instead, Wagoner flew the GM $36 million luxury aircraft to Congress. Yeah. So, In flying these over, of course, a lot of the representatives in the House on this committee had a big problem with the symbology of coming to beg for money while flying in on a private jet. And I thought Representative Gary Ackerman nailed it.
It's almost like seeing a guy show up at the soup kitchen in high hat and tuxedo.
Yeah, just about. Like showing up in a tuxedo to a soup kitchen. Although I think he meant top hat, not hi hat. Hi hat's a thing on the
symbol,
drums.
Isn't it?
Yeah, whatever. But I know what he meant, right? It's the rich guys coming into the soup kitchen. This is ridiculous. And the worst thing about it is because, you know, those guys aren't going to be struggling. These guys that make all their money. I mean, Wagoner, the guy who flew in on his $36 million aircraft, he makes $15.7 million a year with total compensation, and she included stocks and all of that. Mulally from Ford makes $21.7 million a year. And so they had asked, Representative Peter Roskam, who's a Republican from Illinois, was asking, hey, you guys, this is really bad symbolism. How would you feel about, in a symbolic gesture, working for just $1 for the year? And, of course, Wagoner said, I don't have a position on that. And Mulally said, I understand the intent, but I think we're doing okay. So, yeah, that's where their hearts lie. But I want to know where your heart lies. What's your opinion on this GM automaker big three bailout and all the testimony? Let's get your calls at 888-7-RADICAL. Let's go to the phones right now. I've got Dan, who's driving truck through Grandview, Washington.
Hey,
and, Dan, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, Russ, I agree with you totally. You know, how can we give hundreds of billions of dollars to the capitalist vampires that have sucked everything dry? They've taken the money and put it in their own pockets through all kinds of parachutes, the executives, and then we give them with no restraints.
Yeah.
And then we can't even take care of a little measly $25 billion to help out the auto industry, which would help out our labor industry. But I do agree that there needs to be oversight, because I hear what you're saying. There's the executives are still screwing everybody.
Oh, absolutely. We saw this.
$20 million a year?
Yeah.
Come on. How long does it take a worker to make $1 million?
All his life, for the most part.
Yeah,
and I know you're driving truck out there, which it'd probably take all your life to make $1 million, wouldn't it?
Well, I make a little over $50,000 a year, so add that up, 20 years.
20 years, there you go. Yeah, a full working life and doing a hard job that I think a lot of people in this country have no idea how hard the trucking job is and how much it contributes to this economy. Boy, we shut down the trucks and this country would come to a standstill in
but
a week easily.
The vampires that are taking all that money that have shut this economy down, they've taken all the money. And put it in their pockets,
in
their banks or whatever.
Oh, yeah. When we first did this bailout, the whole idea was that we're going to bail out these Wall Street firms so that it would free up some capital to be lent out to small businesses and people. But what did they do with it? They kept it all and started paying bonuses with it.
Yeah,
bonuses to people.
Parties.
Yeah,
parties.
That's
AIG
right.
AIG went to a party.
Exactly. AIG guys had their, you know, $500,000 corporate retreat or whatever it was. Exactly. And again, not that we don't want to see strings or any accountability or oversight on a Detroit bailout, but how come so much attention on the Detroit bailout and not this other bailout? That's where I've got the big issue.
I think there needs to be some attention on what's going on about all these excess salaries and benefits and bonuses and whatever mm-hmm. these guys are getting.
Yeah.
It's killing our economy.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I saw a post where someone was trying to argue, you don't understand how the talent works on Wall Street. If we start having the taxpayers dictating what the bonuses and what the salaries are, they'll just go off and move to another company. And I say, well, first of all, what kind of talent is it that keeps, you know, destroying all these companies? And second of all, if they were so bad in their company that we have to buy them out and restrict their pay and bonuses, how many other companies are really going to want to hire this so-called talent that destroyed the company before?
And no talent's worth that much.
I agree with you. Thank you so much for your call, Dan, and have
Thank
a good
you,
drive out there in Washington. Appreciate
your
call.
I listen every Saturday.
Oh, glad to hear it. We got more calls to get to on the line here at 888-7-RADICAL. We're going to go to Orange County, California, and we've got Jim on the line. Jim, welcome to the show.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Go right ahead, Jim. What's your opinion on this Detroit bailout stuff?
Well, you know, I think it's appalling that these executives have the audacity to come in on corporate jets.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This is a fledgling company. I mean, most small businesses that are fledging would not be coming in on corporate jets.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, let's be realistic here. Get in a car, drive to D.C., and present your case, and we'll see if there's merit to it. I mean, any other business would be under that kind of scrutiny, do you
think? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. And you know, not even that they have to drive from Detroit, but even just, you know, I'd give them first class on a jet. That's fine. Take first class. I'm a big guy. I've sat in those little seats on the airplanes. I understand. Take first class. That's $1,000 compared to how many tens of thousands does it cost in fuel and the pilot time and all of that and the maintenance time for a corporate jet. They are the most clueless, out of tune people next to the U.S. Congress in this country.
Agreed. This is not Hollywood. These are executives of car manufacturers. They are a business. They have a service to provide, and I don't think that they should be flying first class. That's one thing. But come on, if these guys were successful at what they were doing, we'd be showing profit in the black right now, would we not?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I hear people talking about this bailout and saying, well, you know, they've done badly. If they were any other business, let's just let them fail and go into bankruptcy. And well, we can't do that either. That's our last manufacturing industry. We got so many jobs, you know, 1 million people that depend on the jobs related to the auto industry. We can't just let them go belly up. Jim, I got another call to get to. Thank you for calling us here at the show. One more here. Let's go to Robert in Phoenix, Arizona. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hello. Yes, I just wanted to comment that it seems to me that the executives flying in on their executive jets just seems to be representative of a much deeper problem. The fact that they didn't even think in terms of, like you said, the symbology of this mm-hmm. suggests that they're just completely disconnected in many other areas. They're acting like nobility that feels entitled to a certain salary, a certain income.
Absolutely.
Certain
3 or 4 centuries. Yeah, 3 or 4 centuries ago, these would be the people that were saying, let them eat cake. that's what it is. It's a let them eat cake sort of attitude.
Yes. And I think that underlying arrogance and this obliged nobility, that's what needs to be attacked, so to speak. And these people need to realize they're just like everyone else. And like one of your other callers said, no talent is worth that much. I don't care which Harvard Business School or Wharton Business School or, you know, London School of Economics or, you know, educational background you have.
You're absolutely right.
The talent isn't worth that much.
You're absolutely right, Robert. I appreciate your call. I got to move on to a break here. Got a commercial coming up here. Thanks so much for calling in. The phone number here is 888-7-RADICAL. We've got to take a break. When we come back, it's our Lunatic Fringe segment where you will learn that Obama will purge white men from the government, secular gay fascists want to destroy America and institute polygamy, and it's all the media's fault that transgendered people suffer hate crimes. All that and more in the Lunatic Fringe. We monitor right-wing radio so you don't have to. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville, host of The Russ Belville Show. Do you struggle with your computer? Have you ever spent hours at work trying to fix that spreadsheet, document, or database? Have you ever thought, there's got to be an easier way? You need to call the PC Boss. Belville Office Software Specialists, or PC Boss, can help you with your office software projects without hard-to-understand books or taking a day off to attend a boring computer class. We specialize in one-on-one software tutoring and consultation at your desk with your files. No computer training company can match that, or we can help you online. Call the PC Boss at 503-349-0395 to make your consultation appointment today. Visit pcboss.biz on the web or email pcboss.biz@gmail.com. Call 503-349-0395 and say you heard it on the Russ Belville Show and get 10% off a two-hour session. Call PC Boss at 503-349-0395 or email pcboss.biz@gmail.com today.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanton from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Son, we got to talk about drinking.
I know.
I don't want you touching alcohol till you're old enough.
Yeah, I know, Dad. It's not a big deal.
Don't yeah, I know me, okay? And it is a big deal. Underage drinking is just stupid.
Yeah, well, why'd you do it?
Look, I did it because we didn't know what we know now. Alcohol affects kids differently, okay? When kids drink, it's more dangerous. And you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
Look, son, I'm trying to help. I've seen what it does. I mean, you may think you can handle it, but when you drink, it screws up your judgment. Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens. Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Russ Belville Show. Not ashamed of his real last name. Got it, Michael Savage?
Welcome back to the show. It's 50 after the hour. We want to remind you that we monitor the right-wing radio dial so you don't have to. Find out how you can support our efforts by becoming a sponsor of the Lunatic Fringe Awards. Just email radicalruss@gmail.com for details.
The lunatic is on the grass.
Now it's time for our weekly roundup of the right wing's altered reality.
The lunatic is on the grass.
From the guano loco neocon chicken hawks to the hypocritical American Taliban. And the cable news punditocracy. The Russ Belville Show presents
the
Lunatic Fringe Award, an award dedicated to the politician, pundit, or preacher who said the most ignorant, hateful, or bizarre quote of the week. Ah, Stevie, today's Lunatic Fringery is filled with gayness.
Ooh, excellent. I can hardly wait.
Plenty of gayness in the Lunatic Fringery today, but it's
gay-tastic.
It's gay-tastic, right, after this whole Prop 8 thing. But before we get to that, we're going to go to our good friend, the Hall of Famer, the man named Wiener from San Francisco.
Wiener!
Michael Savage. That's right. Michael Savage was talking to a caller about social promotion, the idea that kids get to go up a grade just because they're old enough and not because they fail. And of course, his theory is we need to actually fail kids, you know, and hold them back from grades. And he kind of goes off on this rant about how social promotion, this concept has led to Barack Obama and what this means for white folks in the government.
When you socially promoted, you wind up as president of the United States. If you socially promoted your whole life and nobody challenges you because you're of the proper constitution, why, you then go to Harvard, you then go to the law review, you then get elected. You haven't seen any of what's coming in this country. I am telling you that there's going to be a wholesale firing of competent white men in the United States government up and down the line, in police departments, in fire departments, everywhere in America.
Yeah, everywhere in America, white men, competent white men are going to be fired because Barack Obama was socially promoted to the office of president. Had nothing to do with his skills or abilities. You know, when you go to Harvard, they just let you in because you're old enough, and you become president of Harvard Law Review because, you know, nobody really asks a whole lot of questions on that position. What? Talk about your social promotion. The fact that Michael Savage has a radio show is the biggest example of social promotion in this country.
I swear he gets madder by the second.
It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Third most highly rated talk radio host in the country, Michael Wiener Savage.
Wiener.
Let's go on now. We told you it was going to get gay here, so we're going to get a little bit of gayness here in the Lunatic Fringe Awards. This is Newt Gingrich talking about the California Prop 8 and how the gay and secular fascists are coming to take over.
Look, I think there is a gay and secular fascism in this country that wants to impose its will on the rest of us, is prepared to use violence, to use harassment. I think it is prepared to use the government if it can get control of it. I think that it is a very dangerous threat to anybody who believes in traditional religion. And I think if you believe in historic Christianity, you have to confront the fact. And Frank, for that matter, if you believe in the historic version of Islam or the historic version of Judaism, you have to confront the reality that these secular extremists are determined to impose on you acceptance of a series of values that are antithetical. They're the opposite.
Are you
of what you're taught in Sunday school?
That's right. Us secular extremists are coming to force a series of values on you. Like we're going to force you to not be allowed to force your views on everyone else. that's pretty much the secular fascism in this country, is the idea that one group doesn't get to impose its religious standards on the country, aka Prop 8.
We're coming to make you a gay, haha. We're coming to make you a gay, hee hee ho ho, haha.
That's right. Now, speaking of the gays, Jim Quinn and Rose Tennant, they're our latest friends here on the Lunatic Fringe Award. They've got a little morning show.
Be careful how you pronounce it.
Yeah, Jim Quinn and Rose Tennant, that's right, explaining how the gays really don't want marriage.
If there are the same rights, equal rights, within a civil partnership, why are they going after marriage?
Because that's one of the basic underpinnings, one of the basic legs of Western civilization,
right,
and Judeo-Christian civilization.
Down.
Right. Break it down, deconstruct it.
And you've broken down society.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. This is a purely, the whole marriage issue is, gays never wanted to get married until what, about 5 years ago we started to hear about this?
Yeah.
No, this is a purely political act.
A purely political act to do what? Tear down Western civilization? That's what the gays want to do? They want to tear down Western civilization? Come on, the gay folks have been asking for marriage long before 5 years ago. And Rose, civil unions are not the same thing. We'll talk about that in our next segment. Now, for some truly vile lunatic fringery, we go to Minneapolis, and radio host Chris Baker, he was talking about the recent murder of a transgendered man who was shot. A transgendered woman, I should say, who was shot in a car. A person just walked up and shot this person, a transgendered person. Chris Baker says it's all the media's fault.
Doesn't some of the blame lie with the American media who enables this fraud? Doesn't some of the blame, and I would say a majority of the blame, does not lie with the nitwit that shot him? I personally believe that by the media and all these other people out there enabling these people, that they put people like this at risk because they give them the boldness, the confidence, to decide, well, you know what, I'm a girl. I believe the media and the rest of the enablers out there, they have this guy's blood on their hands because they create this false sense of reality, and they enable people who need serious psychological counseling. I mean, what guy in his right mind would have his stuff cut off?
See, it's all the media's fault for making transgendered people think they should actually be accepted and treated like regular human beings. That's all the media's fault. You know, those transgendered people, it's their fault, too, for actually, you know, being out and being proud of who they are and going out in public. If they just stay in the closet, nobody would shoot them. That's Chris Baker's theory here. But I'm going to give the award this week to our good friend Bill O'Reilly, who is speaking to Mike Huckabee about this gay marriage thing, who say that if there's gay marriage, you know polygamy is next.
Marriage has historically only meant one thing in all of human civilization. It's meant male-female relationship in the context of pre-generation and then training replacements. And if it changed the definition, then where does it stop? Do we tell the people in West Texas, whose cult believes that a man can have 27 wives, that he can't do that? And the answer would be, why can't he do that?
Right. Well, if that's true, under equal protection, you'd have to extend it. You know, that's pretty much my answer, too. You get to a situation where if you're going to change the definition of marriage for gays, then you have to change it across the board.
Yeah, you could just say between two people.
You can't. Not under equal protection.
Bill O'Reilly's trying to say that the California Supreme Court decision would have allowed polygamy. Let me read to you from the California court decision. We emphasize that our conclusion that constitutional right to marry properly must be interpreted to apply to gay and individuals and gay couples does not mean that this constitutional right similarly must be understood to extend to polygamous or incestuous relationships. So Bill O'Reilly, for demonstrating a complete lack of understanding of the Constitution, the California Supreme Court, and the Old Testament, you are the winner of this week's. I love these guys that talk about marriage as one man, one woman. Just read Exodus, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, Deuteronomy. You can learn all about the sanctity of marriage. This is the Russ Belville Show. We're back in just a couple minutes.
Live and direct from the free speech zone called America. The weekend home for truly radical progressives. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ.
It's hour two of the Russ Belville Show, and it's the weekend before Thanksgiving. We're all glad to have you here listening on XM Satellite 167, America Left, or the local terrestrial station near you. Thanks for joining us. Glad to have you here. We got another 60 minutes, or a little bit less, of radical progressive talk for you. So stick around and get your calls in at 888-7-RADICAL. Remember that RadicalRust.com is the online home of the Russ Belville Show, where you can access the archive of all our past shows by subscribing to our podcast. The podcast is absolutely free and available every weekend, 1 hour after the show. And the man putting the podcast together across the continent in Washington, D.C. is our good friend and favorite immigrant worker, Stevie Webb, answering your calls out there. Stevie, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Mr. Radical Russ.
Hey, you brought something up during the break that I hadn't brought up for the show, but boy, it certainly deserves a mention, and that's those Somali pirates. You know, this is going out there, you know, off the coast of Somalia. Yeah. They've been hijacking ships regularly and demanding ransom. And most recently, they hijacked a super tanker, an entire super tanker filled with oil.
A Saudi super tanker filled, what was it, $100 million worth of oil?
Yeah, unbelievable. They're just hijacking these guys. And we have actual pirates on the high seas. It's an amazing thing.
It is amazing. I think people are going to be, like, dropping their jobs to go off and commit acts of piracy now.
The hottest new growth industry.
Piracy.
All those laid-off auto workers can go out and become pirates, I guess.
Oh, that's a fantastic idea. And you brought something to my attention, which I wasn't aware of, which was a news story. Tell them about it, Russ.
Go out to the internets, go out to the Google, and check out, just type in Bloomberg Pirates to Buy Citigroup. Bloomberg News put out this little blurb about the Somali pirates supposedly having plans to use their ill-gotten gains and the plummeting values of the financial sector to actually purchase the Citigroup Bank. And I'm halfway through reading this thing thinking it's serious. You know, I'm like, oh, I better talk about this on the show. And then someone later on, you know, clued me in that it was kind of an April Fool's kind of a joke sort
that was,
of thing.
That was great. Some of those headlines there. Somali pirates fundamentally sound.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they were saying that
a training day. At a nice little hotel near Hastings, where all of us sea dogs can sit us down, compare work methods, and prioritize objectives. Damn your eyes. All Citigroup employees will only be speaking in the present tense from now on.
Arr.
I will. Anyone using a pluperfect or conditional dies where he stands.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, the Somali pirates. So we'll keep our eye, one eye without an eye patch. We'll keep our eye on that.
In the meantime, I've got a nice hat here made out of a piece of paper. Turns out I have a bounty on my head.
Yeah, the Somali pirates better watch out because they'll have to fight off the Crimson Permanent Assurance. I'm sure they'll have some problems with them. But we got to get to our next segment, so let's go ahead and do that. Neocon regressives like to say that we liberals hate America first. I like to say we liberals love America most. That's why we're so disappointed in how badly regressives trash her reputation and treat her people. So today we help our leaders focus on the plight of the little guy by taking our look at... That's right, living in America, and specifically today I want to talk about living in America as a gay or lesbian person, which I am not, but I am a big friend and ally of the gay and lesbian movement, and all the recent news and our recent lunatic fringe kind of bears this out as well, that the time for gay rights and gay civil rights in this country have come. It's time for us to just get over all of our little hang-ups and religious peccadilloes about homosexuality and finally allow this country to live up to its mantra of all men are created equal, that all people are equal under the eyes of the law. So that's why I think it's so important for us to stand up for gays and lesbians. So now, this issue of gay marriage, here's something that I caught on the news wires just before I came on this segment here. It comes out of Nepal. You know, Nepal up there by China, you know, Himalayas, Mount Everest, Nepal, right? The country of Nepal, their Supreme Court this week ruled all gay citizens are allowed the same rights as other citizens, including gay marriage. The court ordered the government to form a 7-member committee to study same-sex partnership and marriage acts in other countries and recommend a similar act to the Nepal government. Does it blow anyone else's mind that Nepal is more open and tolerant than California when it comes to gay people? Unbelievable. And this is worldwide that this is happening. People all around the world are starting to realize that a person's sexual orientation is an innate characteristic, no different than being left-handed, blue-eyed, black, short, tall, fat, whatever. It's an innate characteristic, and if American freedom means anything, it means that we treat all people equally under the law. Now, other countries, like I say, have recognized this. Canada has gay marriage. It's completely legal. The Netherlands, Belgium, Spain, South Africa has gay marriage, and we don't here in America. Well, we do, somewhat. Massachusetts has gay marriage, and Connecticut and New York, while they won't let you get married, they will recognize your gay marriage from Massachusetts. Then there's also the issue of civil unions. You know, they talk about the civil unions thing. You know, let's just give them civil unions. Well, folks, civil unions don't work. Civil unions will not work. There are over 1,000 rights and responsibilities and privileges under federal law that come under the word marriage that do not come under the word civil union. And most civil unions are not transportable. You can't take them from state to state. So if your gay marriage is recognized in New York, you can't go down to New Jersey and still have that recognition. So this patchwork of trying to say separate but equal is not going to work. When you really want to get it down to it, the people that are against gay marriage, they're not really against gay marriage. They are for the supremacy of Christianity. See, these people are weak in their beliefs. These people are weak in their patriotism for America. They are weak and they cannot survive with their own morality intact unless they have an authoritarian figure telling them what's right and what's wrong in really simple black and white terms. And that's why they can't wrap their mind around the idea of gay marriage. It violates the supremacy of their Christian worldview. You can hear it when those guys talk about, well, let's just, you know, they can't have marriage, but let's give them civil unions. So they don't really seem to be against the rights that we're talking about. It's that word, marriage, and the word makes such a difference to them, again, because they want to live in a Christian supremacy culture. All right, let's go to the phones and get your opinions on these topics. Earlier today, we were also talking about the bailouts for Detroit, so I'm going to get back to that topic here. We're going to go down to RC in Marianna, Florida, talking about the bailout issue. So, RC, happy birthday to you as well.
Oh. Well, thank you very much. I just turned 71.
Congratulations.
And my nickname is R. I'm a kind of a retired pirate, but we won't discuss. I really am.
What are the benefits for retired pirates, anyway?
I just bought another sailboat, and I'm planning on restoring it and taking off south again.
Aww,
anyway,
must have cost you an arm and a leg.
Yeah,
sorry.
I have quite a history. Anyway, there was an economist named Ravi Batra, I believe, and he had the best idea that I've heard for saving GM and all the rest of the companies. He said, let's buy their stock, distribute it amongst the employees, let the employees vote in who they want in the front office, set a limit of $200,000 top salary, and get the bums out of there. You understand? Ford stock selling for what, $1.58? GM's close to $2. And the government could buy all that stock and distribute it to the employees, and the employees know how to run a company, and they know what a nut and a bolt is. Those guys in front of Congress don't know what a wrench is.
I think that's a good idea, RC, and also because, you know, we look at other employee-run companies. You look at something like, you know, Costco or Winco or some of these other, you know, cooperative-type companies where the employees are also the owners, and they tend to have better benefits for the employees and better profit margins for the stockholders.
And get that out there. I'm calling every talk show I can to tell them about this. This Ravi Batra is smart.
I think that's a good idea. Let's think about that, and we'll bring that up on the web as well at RadicalRust.com. RC, happy birthday, and thank you for your call. We've got to take a short break. And before we do, I also want to bring up, you know, RC made me think of this point, too. On the Bill Maher show last weekend, he had Ashton Kutcher on, you know, the actor Ashton Kutcher. Not, you know, the guy from Punk'd, right? Not the guy you'd think you'd go to for brilliant, you know, economic ideas. But I thought he had a really good idea. He said, you know who ought to be bailing out the car companies? The oil companies. They're making $14.63 billion a quarter. Let them bail out the car companies. Aren't they made for each other? Something to think about. I'm Radical Russ. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls at 888-7-RADICAL and getting to the under-the-radar story. So stick around. This is The Russ Belville Show.
I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville, host of The Russ Belville Show. Do you struggle with your computer? Have you ever spent hours at work trying to fix that spreadsheet, document, or database? Have you ever thought, there's got to be an easier way? You need to call the PC Boss. Belville Office Software Specialists, or PC Boss, can help you with your office software projects without hard-to-understand books or taking a day off to attend a boring computer class. We specialize in one-on-one software tutoring and consultation at your desk with your files. No computer training company can match that, or we can help you online. Call the PC Boss at 503-349-0395 to make your consultation appointment today. Visit pcboss.biz on the web or email pcboss.biz@gmail.com. Call 503-349-0395 and say you heard it on the Russ Belville Show and get 10% off a two-hour session. Call PC Boss at 503-349-0395 or email pcboss.biz@gmail.com today.
Voted Best Progressive Talk Radio Host, named Belville for 2 years and counting. This is the Russ Belville Show. I wonder if there's a typo there.
No typo. Welcome back to the show. It's 20 after the hour. This is your Marijuana Minute, the 60-second update of cannabis news in America, brought to you by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws at norml.org. Barack Obama has nominated Eric Holder as Attorney General and Jim Ramstad as Drug Czar. In the 1990s, Holder proposed 5-year mandatory minimum sentences for marijuana possession and believed that arresting marijuana users would curb violent crime. Ramstad opposed medical marijuana in California and federal needle exchange programs that are proven to reduce HIV and hepatitis among addicts. These nominations, along with Vice President Joe Biden, who championed mandatory minimums in the 1980s and 90s, Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Daschle, who fought to pass the unconstitutional RAVE Act, and White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel, who tried to shut down California's medical marijuana law, do not bode well for the change we can believe in the decades-long failure that is the war on drugs. That's right. Not very good for those of us in the drug reform movement looking at some of those latest nominations. We're hoping that those guys have changed their tune since then. Every week here at the Russ Belville Show, we sift through the headlines to find the stories buried in the back pages or ignored on the evening news. Stories our citizens and our leaders need to hear. In this segment, we go under the radar. All right, continuing our discussion of these bailouts for Detroit, for the automakers. One of the things that I've been thinking about a lot here, and we mentioned it right before we went to break here, is this idea of who should be responsible for this bailout, you know? The American people, I think, have given enough as far as taxpayer money goes. We've been bailing out Wall Street, AIG, and all these Fannies and Freddies. And, you know, when do we get a bailout? That's what I want to know. We gave $700 billion to the Wall Street firms. We should have just taken $700 billion and distributed it to every working adult in this country. I think that would have done more for this economy. And that Ashton Kutcher idea about having the oil companies pay for the bailout of the auto companies is beginning to make more and more sense to me. I mean, when you think about it, the oil companies and the auto companies have been in league with each other for years. The auto companies have continued to put out these big gas-guzzling cars, knowing, you know, that industry was bound to fail after, you know, some time. I mean, we're so dependent on foreign oil. But continuing to put out all those gas-guzzling SUVs, which made the oil companies rich. You know, people having to fill up their SUVs. So isn't it about time they repaid the favor? Isn't it about time that the oil companies repaid the favor of making them rich by, you know, filling up cars with gas? You know, repay the favor and bail out the car companies for us. I think that's only fair. And Congress isn't completely blameless on this either. You know, I hear a lot of people that are getting down on Detroit talking about how, you know, they continue to make cars that nobody wants. Nobody wants to buy these Detroit cars. And part of the reason why people didn't want to buy them was the fuel efficiency or lack thereof. But it's up to Congress to set CAFE standards. Had we had a Congress, you know, led by Democrats since 2006 that wanted to get something done about raising CAFE standards, it should have been done by now. I mean, we can't hold anyone blameless in this. The executives made bad decisions. Congress didn't give proper regulation and oversight to this industry. And we, the people, are somewhat to blame, too, for continuing to, you know, buy these SUVs and those of who are buying them and propping up this industry that's continued to fail. We need to do something about it. And I would start by, you know, if we're going to do this bailout, I think the American people should have some ownership in these companies and some say as to what the executive perks will be, what the executive compensation will be, and so on. Now, looking at some other facts here behind this whole bailout situation, the other thing I worry about is, you know, people talk about, well, we should, you know, if there's any other business, we'd let them go bankrupt. You know, we'd let them go bankrupt and you know, they'll have to reorganize and that'll be better for them. And, you know, yeah, maybe if we weren't in the middle of the most severe economic recession since the Great Depression, maybe we could do that. But what I worry about is if we let these big three automakers fail, it's not as if nobody's going to manufacture cars anymore. That business will be taken over by the Chinese, by the South Koreans. They would be more than willing to come in and buy a few American auto factories and start pumping out their cars. But, you know, the problem with that, though, even if the Chinese or the Japanese or the South Koreans or anybody, if they came in and bought our U.S. automakers, well, what more incentive do they have to not pick up and move all their operations out of the United States and pay low paid, you know, Malaysians or Mexicans or anybody else, Chinese, to do the work for them? We need to keep manufacturing in this country, people. We don't make a whole lot of stuff anymore. Seems like all we make these days are cars and movies. I can't think of much more that the United States makes these days. We can't let the auto industry fail. And furthermore, I also want to talk about this thing, this other proposal that's come up. The Republicans have been trying to push this one. There's currently money in the congressional pipeline for a special project to fund the automakers making low mile per gallon cars. It's for research and development and production of better gas mileage cars, which is what the people really want. The Republicans are proposing, instead of giving a new bailout to the auto industry, let's just take the money from this initiative to build low mile per gallon cars. Let's just take that money and use that for the bailout. Can you believe that? I mean, the big problem that our automakers have is selling cars that nobody wants to buy. So we're going to give them a chance to make better cars that people will buy. And then we're going to take the money from that so they don't have to build better cars, so they can keep their business running without building low mile per gallon cars. It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. We've got to save these Detroit automakers. The other thing I want to debunk here while I've got the chance, I see this line pop up all the time on Fox and some of these other channels and the right-wing radio stations, is they want to blame the workers. They want to blame the union workers. Oh my God, these union workers are making $40, $50, $70 an hour. Okay, never mind that the executives are making $70,000 an hour. But first of all, don't believe that hype. The average automaker makes between $24 and $26 an hour, a living wage, a decent wage for a hard job. What they're trying to do is they're trying to throw in all the benefits and try to all the non-pay benefits that the automakers get to try to bump the number up to make you feel worse about it. But you got to understand those benefits don't go just to the individual workers. They also go to the retirees. So it's a false number. Yeah, they make $70 an hour if you count all of the benefits that GM pays all the retired employees, right? So don't buy that. Don't buy it that the automakers are living high on the hog or anything. Remember, it's the executives flying their private jets to Washington and making $70,000 an hour. Those are the ones that are to blame. Now, when we come back from our next break, we're going to be taking your calls at 888-7-RADICAL. We're going on to our free-for-all segment, and in the free-for-all, all topics are open. Anything you want to talk about at 888-7-RADICAL. We've been talking about gay marriage, talking about the Detroit bailout, but whatever subject, Somali pirates, I'm all for it. Let's get on the phone. 888-7-RADICAL. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. We're right back to Radical Russ in just a few minutes. Hey, does anybody really have a dial anymore? You're listening to The Russ Belville Show. Now at 1-888-7-RADICAL. We'll even speak slowly for conservatives.
Welcome back to the show. It's 35 after the hour, and the Russ Belville Show is your source for independent progressive talk, heard by tens of thousands of listeners on XM Satellite and your local terrestrial station. Help support progressive talk by advertising or donating online at RadicalRuss.com today. It's 5 hours worth of show and 2 hours worth of time to fit it all in. It's the lightning round.
With the free for all and height of dead, you can bet your life. Stakes are high and so am I. In the air tonight.
That's right, it's the free for all where any topic is up for discussion at 888-7-RADICAL. We're going to go to the phones right away here and speak with Dave in Warren, Ohio. Dave,
hi,
welcome
Russ.
To the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, a couple alternatives on the auto bailout.
Yeah.
Instead of giving the money to the corporations, and God knows what they're going to do with it, give the money to the people.
Yeah.
Give them a tax rebate or a check or something if they buy an American car. And, you know, let it go from there.
Yeah, why not? Why not? If we're going to take all this bailout, if we're just going to be doling out money here, give it to the people who are going to spend it on the economy.
Amen.
Yeah, we got these guys with the, you know, the we were talking about Wall Street earlier, these executives with their bonuses and
exactly.
Going off to the islands
for the people so they can buy their house or can keep their house.
Exactly. We need to start thinking about supporting the people who have those mortgages out there that are failing. I've got a thing in here about talking about the mortgages where they got Bernanke and Paulson together and they were asking him, you know, what we should do about the whole bailout thing with Wall Street and the mortgages and buying all these distressed assets and so on. And they still do not want to divert any of that money to directly helping the homeowners with their mortgages.
I know, it's sick. It's sick. You know, one other thing before we run out of time. I think they should cancel all credit default swaps. You know, that's by an insurance. Let's say you have a house and you buy your house insurance. Now, I'm going to buy insurance on your house, too. I don't think that's crazy.
Yeah.
You should cancel me. What? The only thing I could do is make your house burn down so I can get paid. That's one. That's what's happening with that.
Yeah, it really has. You know, this whole lending industry, you know, when we had local banks and all that kind of stuff, you know, if you were a homeowner and you wanted to get a loan, the bank knew who you were. They went through your records. If you qualified,
Amen.
You got a loan. And if you failed, they hurt. But with this situation where one bank loans money and then they sell the loan to someone else who takes a bunch of other loans that they bought and bundles them together and sells off parts of them to other people that have parts of loans
crazy.
From other
it's
people.
It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
One other thing before I quit.
Sure.
The reason why the stock market and all the economy is looking bad because they haven't fixed anything.
Yeah.
They're just throwing money, billions of dollars out someplace, God knows where.
Yeah.
They should, you know, like we said, fix the credit defaults, give money to people so they can buy their houses, buy their cars, change the leveraging. If you only have to pay 1 in 100 to buy stock, that's crazy. That's what put us into depression.
Oh, yeah. We had these guys, we had these companies that were leveraged 33-1. You know,
that's
they had
crazy.
$1 of real assets for every $33
that's
of
insane.
Debt out
fix
there. It's crazy.
It. Couldn't be that hard to fix.
Well, it should be criminal is what it should be,
well,
Dave.
It is criminal, but we have to fix it or we have to make it criminal or we have to stop it. Because the economy is not going to get fixed or get better until we plug these holes. We're throwing money down a big hole.
I agree with you, Dave. I completely agree. And thanks for your call. I appreciate that. The phone lines are open at 888-7-RADICAL. It's the free-for-all. Yeah, the numbers that are coming out recently here are not looking good for us here, for the American people. The jobless claims record, just announced by the government, jobless claims jumped to a 16-year high. 542,000 new jobless claims after Wall Street only predicted there'd be just 500,000. So, 42,000 more than they expected. This is the biggest level of jobless claims since 1992, when we were coming out of recession. And this, the Senate just recently is going to be taking up a bill to extend unemployment insurance, and that might help just a little bit. But the Fed is now projecting jobless rates as high as 7.6% next year, 7.6% unemployment. And when they release these unemployment numbers, I hope you folks understand that when they release that, all you're hearing is the tip of the iceberg number. The way they calculate unemployment, it's kind of controversial, and it's gone through changes over the years. But there's a thing called the U3 that they base it on. And it's three different factors for unemployment. People that are, new jobless claims, people with continuing jobless claims, and so on. They don't count the people who are out of work, but it's been so long since they've had a job that they just have given up finding one. They don't count the people who are technically out of work, but are making do on, make work, doing handyman jobs or whatever. They don't count that jobless rate on people who are underemployed, people that are working a part-time job, but they'd take a full-time job if they could find one. So when you start counting all these things, and when they take all these factors, they call it the U6 number. When you take that U6 number, it's usually about double what the regular unemployment number is. The most recent U6 that I saw was something like 12% here in America, that 12% of the people in America are either out of work looking for a job or underemployed or have given up looking for a job. So when they're talking about a possible 7.6% U3 unemployment when we get to January, then you could start thinking about 14, 15% of the American workforce out there underemployed, not working, looking for a job, or just have given up. Now, other numbers here that, again, tell us the situation we're in here. The consumer prices and housing starts are down and have declined at rates that haven't been seen since the 40s and 50s. Yeah, we had the consumer price index dropped 1% in October, which is the largest one-month drop since they began compiling the statistic in 1947. Energy prices dropped 8.6%, largest drop since 57, and gasoline prices plunged 14.2%. Now, maybe that's kind of good news. I know at least in my neck of the woods where the gas was, getting close to $4.29 not too long ago, the gas is now down to $2.09. Does that amaze anyone that gas prices can just go up and down by 50% in the span of a few months? It's kind of like, they just kept turning the screws on us. How much can we get them to pay? $3.75? Can we get them to pay $4? Can we get them to pay $4.25? And once we started backing off, once we started parking the SUVs, once we started not driving, by ourselves and starting to take the bus and starting to carpool, once that started to happen, the oil companies realized the screws were a little too tight, started to ease off a little bit, haven't they? Ooh, the dollar's falling. We better ease off a little more. People are broke. They won't buy as much gas. Do you ever feel like just a little puppet on a string when it comes to the oil companies out here? Speaking of puppet on the string and the oil companies, last weekend, we interviewed Josh Tickell, who was the director of this new documentary, Fuel, which was premiering in Portland last weekend. It did so well that they've held it over for a week. So if you missed the Fuel documentary in Portland on Friday, Saturday, Sunday last week, it's here Friday, Saturday, Sunday of this week as well. They sold out their 7:30 showing on Friday. They're keeping the movie for another weekend. So go check it out, Fuel, out at the Fox Tower Cinemas in Portland, Oregon. Plus, it'll be coming to Seattle and Austin and a bunch of other cities as well. We've got the link to the website up on our website at RadicalRust.com if you'd like to learn more about it. But as I was talking to Josh last weekend, he echoed this same idea that the price of oil and the oil companies, it really has nothing to do with supply or demand. It has nothing to do with whether hurricanes hit the refineries or what OPEC is doing or whatever. This is really just a game to rip off the American people. That's what's happening here in America, and that's why we're here at the Russ Belleville Show, trying to keep you informed so you can help fight back against this. We're taking your calls also at 888-7-RADICAL, and want to remind you, we also take emails at RadicalRuss.com. So get on the line. We'll continue this conversation. Coming up in our next segment, we are going to finish things up, wrap it up with our closing. We've got some listener emails to get to, so we'll read your listener emails and a few more of our segments here, a few more of our stories, excuse me, from the Free for All segment, and you're welcome to join in at 888-7-RADICAL, 888-772-3422. We'll be right back.
Coast to coast, from Shoshone to Sierra, White Mountain to Davy Crockett. They're more than our national forests, they are national treasures. But they are being devastated by fire as never before. The Arbor Day Foundation asks for your help in replanting our national forests to help restore their life-giving benefits and awe-inspiring splendor. Visit arborday.org. See what we're doing. See how you can help.
Hi, I'm Edie Falco with PETA. Have you ever witnessed animal abuse? Research shows that people who commit acts of cruelty towards animals don't stop with animals. Many of them turn their violence against humans. If you know of someone who's harmed an animal, report it to animal control or the police right away. The animals and the people in your community are depending on you.
For more information, visit PETA.org or call 757-622-PETA.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Hi, I'm Russ Belleville, host of The Russ Belleville Show. Do you struggle with your computer? Have you ever spent hours at work trying to fix that spreadsheet, document, or database? Have you ever thought, there's got to be an easier way? You need to call the PC Boss. Belleville Office Software Specialists, or PC Boss, can help you with your office software projects without hard-to-understand books or taking a day off to attend a boring computer class. We specialize in one-on-one software tutoring and consultation at your desk with your files. No computer training company can match that, or we can help you online. Call the PC Boss at 503-349-0395 to make your consultation appointment today. Visit pcboss.biz on the web or email pcboss.biz@gmail.com. Call 503-349-0395 and say you heard it on the Russ Belleville Show and get 10% off a two-hour session. Call PC Boss at 503-349-0395 or email pcboss.biz@gmail.com today.
Continue the conversation with Radical Russ online. Visit RadicalRuss.com and email RadicalRuss@gmail.com.
All right, 48 after the hour. Welcome back to the show, Science. And glad to have you here. I'm Radical Russ. I can't help it. I know, I can't help but do that. It's because I grew up in the 80s. What can I say? Hey, we want to remind you here at the Russ Belleville Show that many of you have something to say, but you're shy about calling a radio show. So we remind you that you can always contact me and Stevie by email at RadicalRuss@gmail.com. At the end of each show, we'll check the inbox for our latest installment of listener email. But before we get to the listener email, I wanted to give Stevie a quick update on a subject I know that is near and dear to his heart, motorcycle courier ball here in America.
Yay!
That's what Stevie calls football, you see. My number 9, undefeated Boise State Broncos are playing in Nevada here. They will clinch the title of their division, their conference, I should say, with a win today, and they are still 9th in the country. Last I checked, they're leading 7-0 in Nevada. Now, the University of Utah is 11-0, ranked number 7, and they're playing Brigham Young today, 10-1 Brigham Young. And Boise State really needs a loss by Utah in order to get a BCS bowl bid. So go Brigham Young. And believe me, that will be the first time and last time you will ever hear me say, go Brigham Young. And that is your quick motorcycle courier ball update. Everything makes sense now, Stevie?
No.
I didn't think so. Really. All right. Well, let's get then to our next segment. We got to check the inbox. All right, our listener email here at radicalrus@gmail.com, and I received another bit of poetry. We got a bit of poetry here from Mark. That's right, more poetry. And Mark has sent us a nice little poem for Thanksgiving, except he calls it Banksgiving, and it's perfect for our subject today on all these bailouts. So here's poetry from Mark.
We need the poetry lyre. Here we go.
Oh, we got the poetry music?
Yes, yes, I think that's right.
Perfect.
Yes, it reeks of vanity. There we are.
Very nice. As we approach the holidays with festive hopes of living, we can all give thanks today for all of our Banksgiving. Hanky Panky Ben Bernanke says, we have a lot to be bankful for. We should invest in other banks in the U.S. and foreign shores. Let us pray and be bankful for more tax dollars for Wall Street. The Treasury and the federal chair smile at American sheep. We need another $50 billion or the sky will fall again. This chicken little is chicken... I can't say that.
Kind of like...
yeah, but Congress will not lend. So lend a Ben and bankful Hank, spread the table with a tarp. The troubled asset relief program is now laid out in the dark. We must pray to spread the wealth with Goldman Sachs and all the other bankers. Be bankful for their big bank rolls and no regulatory spankers. Let's be bankful at the table so things aren't quite so murky. Before you know where the trimmings go, we realize we're the turkey. That's a nice little poem. Thank you, Mark. You can check out more of Mark's poetry. Thank you. Thank you very much. At myspace.com/ofrhymeandreason. myspace.com/ofrhymeandreason. Thanks, Mark, for writing us at radicalrus@gmail.com.
Mark, just one quick thing. Next time you write a banker rhyme, can you add a wanker in for me?
Oh, yeah. Just, banker, wanker. How can you miss that one?
Yeah. Hmm.
All right, let's go back to the phones at 888-7-RADICAL. We still got free-for-all any subject you want to talk about. We've got Chris in Vancouver, Washington. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hi, Russ. You know, my idea of bailing out this economy is, I don't know exactly how many people we have over the age of 18 that are citizens of the United States.
And it's about 200, 220 million, something like that.
Yeah, somewhere like that's what I figured. If we gave every one of us $1 million, you think we wouldn't bail out this economy?
I think we would. You know, it's what I call the trickle-up theory.
Yeah, that's what I call it, too.
Yeah,
give we'd buy cars, we'd buy houses, we'd start businesses. We'd bail out this economy.
Well, you know, Henry Ford, when he, you know, anti-Semite that he was, but he was still a smart enough man when he built his company to realize that if you don't pay your workers enough to buy your stuff, you can't stay in business.
Exactly.
You know? We got to give the money out to the people. Let's get it out to the people. You know, I think I heard somebody, maybe it was a comedian or somebody on the TV talking about, we should have just taken the $700 billion and dropped it from a plane.
Yeah,
it had gotten just as much done.
Yeah. Anyway, that would help.
Oh, thanks for your call, Chris. I appreciate that. All right. Yeah, a couple other subjects here I wanted to bring up as we're kind of rounding up the show. I talked about a lot about gay rights during this show and during lots of my shows because I believe in, well, I believe in America. I believe in equal rights for all people. I don't believe that we discriminate against people based on who they are, who they love, what they look like, what they believe. I just think that's wrong. But there's one instance where, you know, even the gay people have realized a lot of their civil rights compared to this group. And I know a lot of people make jokes about this, but I'm talking about people who are overweight or obese. You know, It is. It's something that people make jokes about, make fun of. But there are a lot of people who, through no fault of their own, people always want to believe obese people are just lazy or irresponsible or whatever. No, there's a lot of people for medical reasons, for all sorts of reasons, disabilities, whatever, who are obese. And in our country, we tend to, you know, really look down on the obese. You always see this, you know, you always see the news reports where you got the headless fat people walking by. You know, they cut off the frame so you can't see who they are, but you see the fat bodies running by. And yes, obesity is a big problem in our country, and there's a lot of people who are obese who could do something about it. But let's forget about that for a minute and just talk about people who are clinically obese, no fault of their own. It's a medical condition. One of the things that's always been insulting to me about this is the fact that, you know, the airlines want to try to charge obese people for two seats on an airplane, you know, because they say, well, you can't fit in this small seat. You got to charge for two seats. And I've always thought that was quite discriminatory. I used to work for a lady who would get charged like this, you know, and she would gladly pay because she wanted to be comfortable and all. But I still think that's wrong that you would charge people differently just because of their obesity. Well, turns out Canada agrees with me. The Great White North. That's right. The Supreme Court of Canada ruled this week, backed by the Canadian Transportation Agency, ruled that disabled and obese passengers cannot be forced to pay for an extra airline seat. It's upheld the policy of one person, one fare, ordering Canadian airlines to offer a free seat to certain disabled and obese people. This was a court case that's been winding around through the courts for 6 years, brought by a woman in Victoria, British Columbia, who requires a wheelchair, and because she's on a fixed income, she's disabled, she couldn't afford the extra fee. Now, I know the counterargument. The counterargument's, well, you know, a seat is a seat is a seat, and if you got a fat person in the seat, you know, then they're taking up the extra seat that you could have sold to someone else. Excuse me and pardon me if I don't feel too sorry for the airline industry on this one, okay? Look, when we're talking about flying around the country and using airlines, we're talking about people's freedom, the freedom of mobility, the freedom to go, you know, from place to place in this country or around the world. And by charging obese people for that extra seat, you are denying someone's freedom. You're denying someone's right to be able to go around, you know, compared to, and you're treating them differently under the law. So kudos to Canada. I'm hoping that we can come to a decision here in America about this. Now, speaking of the obesity epidemic in this country, another thing that came across my news wires here from the New York Times was a study by economists that just found that McDonald's ads lead to childhood obesity. Says here that children television programs, if they were to ban the ads of McDonald's and other fast food during children's programs, the number of overweight children in the United States would decrease by 18%, and the number of overweight teens would drop by 14%. It's an interesting concept to think about, but you know, I'm in agreement with that. I would even go to not even just banning the fast food ads, but how about all those sugary cereals, breakfast cereals for the kids and that, you know, we got to think about what's going into our children's brains and come up with a better intellectual diet for them than a bunch of sugar ads and fast food fat ads. Oh, well, something we'll have to talk about another time because we're out of time here on the Russ Belville Show, the home for truly radical progressives, for Stevie Lee in Washington, D.C., and myself here in Portland. Thanks for listening to the show. We're here every weekend at this time on this channel, so make it a habit. If you missed part of the show, log on to RadicalRuss.com and download your free podcast available about 1 hour for now. Peace out, everybody, and go Boise State. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. Hey. Always look on the bright side of life. Come on. Always look on the bright side of life. For life is quite absurd.